This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for millennials.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. This is The Property Show, our weekly take on all things property related. And today we're exploring the advance of green and eco-friendly buildings in property development. The conventional notion is that going green comes at a premium price tag. But is this really the case? And do the long-term benefits of green buildings outweigh the costs? Shazana Mukhtar finds out more from Kenny Wong, director at the Veritas Design Group.
Let's begin the conversation with a look at the role of Veritas Environment within the Veritas Design Group.
Okay, Veritas Environment was established in 2013 as part of the group's goal in providing sustainable, energy-efficient environmental design for building. We do provide sustainable green building design consultancy, as in green building ratings such as GBI, LEEDs, Green RE, and etc. So, of course, by setting up this Veritas Environment, our aim is not only to design buildings, but of course to contribute and build an environmentally friendly building.
So when you talk about an environmentally friendly building or a green building, what does this mean? What does this terminology encompass?
Green buildings are buildings which is environmentally friendly in terms of, you know, construction progress, process during the pre- and post-construction, reduce energy usage and reduce water usage. So there's a lot of aspects in going green. When we talk about in terms of construction process, going green means by using environmentally friendly products, such as, you know, in the market, we do have green cements. Of course, during the construction, we still need steel bars, but we are using those recycled steel bars, they're reused and reforged from recycled steel to reduce the stress on raw material and impact towards the environment. And of course, we can't run away from timbers. So definitely in terms of going green, we are promoting going for recycled timbers, farm timbers, and which are only permitted by, you know, having farm trees. So this, again, reduce the stress on the raw material impact towards the environment. And speaking about green building, not only by doing construction process, but also for during the indoor air quality, which green means a selection of low VOC. The low VOC acronym here means volatile organic compound. So what is a volatile organic compound? Volatile organic compound is produced from emitted gas from chemicals, which is used to produce goods. As I think a lot of people doesn't know that by having long-term exposure towards VOC, it will induce health effects and in some cases it causes cancer. So those are some of the things that we would try to promote the awareness of using low VOC materials such as, you know, internal paints, you know, adhesive, sealants, glue. Mm. We do not like to, you know, when we purchase a new house and, you know, the first few months that we will try to stay in, there's that strong smell of odor coming from all the paints. So those are VOCs, things that we can't see but we can smell. Right. Those are very bad in terms of, you know, health for the indoor occupants. Mm-hmm. Of course, for green building, energy usage, definitely we may talk about renewable energy, such as we're going to have photovoltaic system. Because Malaysia is a tropical climate country, sunlight is abundant throughout the year. And this makes solar PV a very good choice as a renewable energy. And furthermore, sunlights are always free of charge anyway. So you just need the cost of installation and maintenance. So this goes well with all the commercial projects, right? And speaking about going green, we talk about water usage. So water usage of a building, again, we are situated in a tropical climate. In terms of saving water, definitely we need to have some sort of like rainwater harvesting tank. Right, so this is to reduce the potable water consumption. Rainwater is captured from the roof area and are designed to flow into designated tanks, filtered and reused for either landscape irrigation, toilet flushing, and also common washing. And a part of that, you know, green building from energy and water savings, also the very important aspect is by utilizing daylight strategies into the building. you know, by having daylight harvesting, you know, promoting natural daylight coming into the building and having lesser usage of artificial lighting, it promotes energy saving.
What are some of the key benefits of going green, so to speak, for developers and business owners?
In terms of developers and business owners, the things that they can expect from being eco-friendly is that, of course, one thing, it's good for the company's portfolio. You'll be well-recognized as a green developer. And of course, in terms of return of investment, by going green, you do have a lot of savings in terms of energy usage. Like, for example, you're installing solar PV panels for your buildings, and you know, the return of investment is around 6 years. So by contrarying the capital cost of the installation, anything that is after 6 years will be an added point for your energy usage.
You've laid out a lot of arguments in favor of going green. However, wouldn't you say that it's expensive for developers to implement green initiatives in construction?
Of course, there's that conventional myth that a lot of people have been portraying into that mindset of developers in terms of, you know, going green will be an added cost for your building construction, right? So, but that will not be the case, because when we talk about added costs, definitely there'll be a bit of added costs. But when we talk about long terms, there'll be energy savings from there. And of course, in line with government's policy, there will be government's incentive that has been applied for, you know, buildings that are built by developers.
Could you elaborate on these government incentives?
All right. I think in line in going green, the government has done a very good job, you know, in introducing, you know, green tax incentive for developers. Okay, by having that, the developers will be more encouraged to go for green buildings, because by having green tax incentive, like your self-owned building, you have tax incentive back from all the M&E equipments that you have invested, all the green technologies that you have invested. So by going through a government agency, MIDA, any applications before 2020, there'll be a tax incentive returned back to the developers, right?
And what about the maintenance of buildings with green elements? Would it require greater expense for its upkeep?
Well, as I have mentioned earlier, going green, it's, of course, definitely the myth is about the added costs in terms of building and the added costs in terms of maintenance. But that will not always be the case, because when you talk about the return of investment of, you know, for example, you're having a solar PV panel, like you've invested like almost 1 million, but you're getting back in 6 years' time. So I think that's an added plus point over there. And of course, in terms of maintenance, it's always a myth saying that it will be expensive to maintain. Equipments will always be more or less the same. So definitely there will not be any extra cost in maintaining green equipments. It's just green technology, innovative tax that we put into the building for them to achieve a higher performance building.
In your experience, how long would it take for a developer to recoup the initial cost of green construction?
Just taking an example, all right, in terms of going green, of course, there's a certain percentage of added cost that we have. Maybe, for example, a residential building, maybe an added cost of 1%, 1.2% from their total construction costs. But looking into that figures, coming back into the return of investment, for example, if let's say we were to put in all those energy efficient equipments into the building, we can talk about 6 years, less than 10 years of return of investment. So like what I said, anything which is more than 6 years will be already an added advantage to you, to the developers. So that itself will better entice all the developers to go for green.
We'll be back with more on The Property Show after these messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for millennials.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Property Show. I'm Julian Ng. Today, we're exploring the advance of green and eco-friendly buildings in the property sector. Shazana Mukta is speaking to Kenny Wong, director at the Veritas Design Group.
Let's talk about the trends in eco-friendly development. Would you say that there's greater interest and awareness from developers to pursue green buildings?
Yes, definitely, because going green is not about what we have right now. It's about going towards the future. So the demand for green building, there's a spike, right, comparing to all the previous years, because green building has only been introduced in Malaysian market like more than 10 years back ago, but it's not constantly been picked up due to the lack of awareness and the importance of green building, right? But as the awareness goes around with all the advertorial, you know, the education that we have in the universities and all the publicity that we have, you know, government's incentive, initiative to go green. So definitely there's a spike, and all the local developers, they're aware that, okay, fine, with all the additional cost that we put in, this return of investment is going to make our property worth more. And also, definitely, it makes sense because it's contributing back to the environment. You need lesser energy to run your building. Definitely, you're contributing back to the environment.
You mentioned earlier about materials that are used in green buildings. How difficult is it to source eco-friendly products in our local market?
Okay, when we speak about going for eco-friendly products that we have in the market, talking about 10 years back, definitely it's something new in Malaysian market. It's difficult to source. It's going to be very expensive because most of the, you know, local producers, you know, factories that we have in Malaysia doesn't really produce that kind of standard eco-friendly products that we have in the market. But like what I said, after 10 years of maturing from the market of going green, a lot of suppliers have already come up with all those green label eco-friendly products that we have in the market. So costing-wise, definitely, it's much more cheaper right now. It's abundance, right? Just that we need to see whether it complies with the compliant mandatory that we have in the guidelines. So in terms of cost, definitely, it will not be that expensive anymore comparing to 10 years back. And, you know, availability is abundance.
Because from our local suppliers.
From our local suppliers, because we do not like to, you know, taking just only from one source, from internationally sourced materials, but having it locally, it's much more easier for, you know, the contractors, for the industries. So yes, it's much more cheaper and it's abundance.
Talk to us about the standards that apply to green building and green construction products in Malaysia.
Okay, the standard that we have in Malaysia actually is picked from the international standard, just that it's localized to our Malaysian market, right? So that standard itself, of course, definitely it has to meet a certain criteria because we need to comply to that certain amount of green volume that we have in the material. So yes, we can say that our standard is actually on par with the international standard.
Right. And who does these inspections? Or is it all self-regulated by the developers and the designers?
Not really, because in terms of standard, we have a council, like for example, GBI Council. They will have a panelist over there to overlook all the entire certification process, materials that they need to use. Can it be used? Can it not be used? Whether it complies to that certain amount of percentage of the low VOC content, like for example. Okay, so those are some of the regulatories. And we as a consultant also, when the contractor, when they submit all the materials, we will go through that checking. We will check on the certification that they have been submitted. And of course, when we talk about certification that comes from the suppliers itself need to declare whether that material itself complies with that, right? So by declaring that, they also need to adhere to some regulatories from the government of Malaysia, like for example, CIRIM or stuff like that. Timber Council, they need to have the FSC, the CSC cert.
So you've mentioned the initials GBI several times in our conversation so far. This, of course, stands for the Green Building Index. Could you help break it down for us? What exactly is GBI?
Okay. Green Building Index is actually a Green Building Index tool, GBI, all right? So the assessment is done when we submit all the documents to the Green Building Council. There'll be a list of panelists which will be going through the submission. So basically, there are a few stages that we need to go through. First is the DA, design assessment. Well, so once you have passed the design assessment with all your documents all put in and your targeted rating is achieved, then we'll move on to CVA, which is Certificate of Verification Assessment. That will be done when the building itself is occupied at least 50% or 12 months from the CPC. So that CVA itself will be the final certification, which will gauge your building to what rating that your building is performing. Okay, so from that CVA itself, 3 years after that, you need to do a renewal, because we do not like to have a building which is just performing for the initial 3 years. We would like that building to perform for as long as you can to be certified as platinum. So every 3 years, certifiers will come for auditing in terms of energy usage and water performance of the building to ensure that this is still a platinum rated building.
Earlier you had mentioned the GBI Council. Who is part of this council in Malaysia?
GBI Council is actually consists of all the technical experts that we have, from the Board of Engineering Malaysia, PEM members, architects, which has a lot of experience. So basically, those are actually consists of volunteers that are working on this GBI Council. And they do provide all these guidelines for all the consultants to follow. And this GBI Council itself, and all the guidelines itself, it's accepted throughout the industry.
Now, talk to us about some of the green projects that Veritas has been involved in.
Taking for example of the new office building that we have recently completed, Menara Etika, which is situated next to Jalan Bangsa, the building is both GBI rated gold and Green IE rated platinum. So, as we have come across during the simulation, the building's BEI, as in terms the acronym stands for Building Energy Index, it's around 207 kilowatt hour per meter square per year. That is based on conventional office design, without any enhancement to the M&E services, architectural. But with the final BEI achieved, based on the enhancement, all the energy efficiency aspects that we have put in during the design, we shall be able to achieve around 86 kilowatt hour per meter square per year, which totals to around of 58% of decrease in energy costs. So an estimated saving from the original running cost of 3.6 million of the energy bill, the owner itself will be able to save 2.3 million per year. So when we talk about energy efficiency, therefore you can see in terms of dollar and cents how important it is. And of course, to highlight, there's another upcoming development, all right, which is almost completion. The ISKL, International School of Kuala Lumpur. This is situated in Ampang Hileh next to Rain Tree Club. So the school is aiming for GBI Platinum and it's targeting for 56 BEI kilowatt hour per meter square per year from a conventional original design of 100 kilowatt hour per meter square per year. So again, you can see the aspects of the percentage of decrease is around almost equaling to 50%. And this school is designed with all the green elements that we have, which is inclusive of daylight harvesting, energy efficient aircon system, which consists of chill beam, water efficiency and other green innovation techs such as solar panels. When we talk about going green for the building, the reason why is it's a school. So we will try to educate the younger generations the importance of going green by having all the green aspects in the school. So you have all those daylight harvesting. Daylight itself has a very positive impact towards the student. Students tend to be more creative, tends to be more active in terms of studying when you have all those natural daylights coming in. So those are some of the very important aspects that we try to play around and try to embed the seed during the early stages of their learning.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the cost of green buildings is not prohibitive for developers. But I can't help but wonder, given the large capital outlay that is required to begin with, would it be fair to say that green building initiatives are really only for the rich and affluent who can afford it?
No. In my opinion, no, not really. Because going green sometimes is not just about going for certification. We talk about doing things with a purpose. Like, for example, we always left out the B40 segment. We do not want to build a PPR with solar panels on top of the rooftop. It will be costly. But we can always do things for a purpose. Like, for example, we are taking care of the occupants of the PPR, the B40 segments, by having low VOC paints, which is, we can find it everywhere. Cost is so cheap right now. we talk about sealants for the windows. We talk about low VOC sealants, adhesive for glues and all those. And of course, when we talk about B40, we do not have to do all those expensive things that we can put into the PPR. We talk about having good design intents, abundance of daylight coming into your house. You do not need to switch on lights that often, right? And we talk about having good cross ventilation so that it promotes good indoor air quality for the occupants of the B40. Those are some of the things that we can try and think of for the future upcoming, you know, B40 segment. You know, we might not need to have certification for that, but just that it's good to do things with a purpose so that it benefits all the brackets that we have in the market.
Okay, and green building is also a question of the design from the start and not just about fancy attachments or materials.
Yes, definitely, because if you design it in such a way with a good practice, definitely it will be beneficial.
And that was Kenny Wong, director at Veritas Design Group. He was speaking to Shazana Mukta. That's all the time we have for this week's Property Show. Tell us what you like to hear on the show by sending your suggestions to property@bfm.my. Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by boomboom.co for millennials. Real estate for real people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.